What's up, Food Podcast? Welcome to the What's Up, Food Podcast with Felipe Esparza and Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
And over here, we have Lisa.
Hello.
Just chilling.
Chilling.
Doing work for other stuff.
No, I'm not. I'm writing down the tour dates.
All right. What's up, everybody? We're back. We've been gone. We haven't been here since Dean Del Rey.
Yeah, man. The Dean Del Rey. Delrazer.
Delrazer.
So that little bag of energy, dog.
No more sugar.
Sugarless.
Sugarless.
Looking like a little stick of sugarless gum, dog.
I never knew until I met him how fat sugar would make if you didn't eat sugar.
Candy. It's not just sugar. Candy.
It's candy.
I can't imagine eating that much candy.
Fuck, how much candy did he eat, dog?
I know. He said he was eating candy in bed.
Whoa. Oh, go to sleep with candy canes.
Yeah. He's a little guy, huh? Yeah. Candy, dog.
Me, I'm fat because of breads, bro. Like, I love desserts.
For me, it's beer.
Like, if I see, I'm hungry, and I see hamburgers and pizza, but over there, there's like a red velvet cake with a lining of cheesecake on top. I'm probably going to take that, bro.
You love cake.
I do, man.
You love cake.
You owe me a Christmas cake. What's up, fool? You hear that crackling noise? Did you hear a crackling noise?
A little bit, real quick.
That was me.
What is a Christmas cake? You ever heard of a Christmas cake?
Bundt cake?
Bundt cake, there you go.
Bundt cake?
Answered. Answered right there.
That's not a Christmas cake.
Fruit cake?
Oh, no. Pass.
That's like nasty, huh, dog?
See, that's why I said I should have made.
I don't like spice cake.
I don't like
bomb,
fruit
good
cake.
Spice cake.
I don't like the fruit cake. Or the fruit cake, right?
Yeah, it's nasty, dude.
It's the same reason I don't like capirotada, bro.
It's like capirotada.
I can't stand it, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, man, people are like trying to throw
force it on you.
Force it on me, bro. No, man.
It's the
dude,
same.
I still to this
and
day
some
don't
restaurants,
eat it,
it's trying to make it like even better, like it's capirotada, but they call it Mexican pudding.
Uh-huh.
One time I said yes, and it was capirotada. I said, take it back.
You like rice pudding?
Fuck yeah, bro. I never liked it growing up because my mom served that shit hot.
I don't like it, dog. It tastes nasty.
My mom's always served it hot. And, man, you know, back then, my mom didn't teach about flossing. So, man, you know me, man. That cinnamon steak stood in between my teeth for years.
little rice?
No, but capirotada, if anybody listening, it's
nasty.
Is that during the holidays, Christmas holidays?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. It's the same as fruit.
They make
it's like-
this with everything that you have in the house that's left over. So, like, I guess it's a poor people food because
it's like leftover rice.
It dates
right?
back in 1800.
Yeah, man.
When there was nothing else, there were, like, everybody else was having cakes, you know, Christmas cakes, like bundt cakes.
Nobody's having
cakes. And fruit cakes. So, somebody got together and put a. What do you have, bro? I have tortillas. What you got?
It's got tortillas in it.
Some people put their tortillas
in
it.
Yeah, my mom does.
It was like the old ass bread, leftover bolillos and shit like that.
My mom would put all that stuff.
Coconut shavings, raisins.
My mom would put nasty ass stuff.
It's a dessert casserole. That's what
yes.
it is.
My mom would put leftover bread, tortillas. Ugh. She would put nuts.
There's
and
raisins.
a whole plum, dog. I don't get that. A whole plum, like the
not cut up at all.
No,
the bone in.
Yeah, now the bone will be gone, but they'll be raisin and nuts, bro. Like walnuts and nuts and.
But it's like oatmeal consistency, right?
Man, and then like, they were sweetening with I guess brown sugar.
Yeah, right.
Panocha.
Piloncillo.
But I've never had a good capirotada in my life. But only one time I thought it was good. Because I think my aunt burned it a little bit, so the cheese was kind of burned. So, man, that's when I started liking apple pie with cheese, bro. Because the cheese in the capirotada was melted, salty.
There's cheese in it?
Yeah, they put cheese.
I didn't know there's
I'm going to put rajas.
No, we never got cheese in it.
She put rajas in there? Peppers?
Ghetto
no,
fabulous
the one. Raja of the cheese, you know, like.
Oh, just like shred, like
that. It was a shredded cheese, like it was blocks of it in there.
Chunks?
Not much, and it wasn't Monterey Jack because that would melt and ruin the whole capirotada.
It was like Mexican cheese?
Queso fresco.
So that shit never melted, bro.
It stayed right there like a curd.
Yeah, so screw that, bro. I never liked that shit.
I'm going to put cake sprinkles on it like it's going to make it better, dog.
No, cake sprinkles.
Get out of here, dog.
That reminds me of when I was in rehab and I was working in the kitchen. And we used to get donations from Ralph's. They would give us all of their leftover cakes. Old ass cakes, dude. Sometimes we'll have like a cinnamon bun cake that was so old that we had to put a lot of frosting to trick out everybody, dog.
You didn't like warm it up a little bit to soften
it? We warmed it up, right? But put a lot of frosting on there, dude, so we'll know how old and chewy it is. And the guy will always lie, man. What are you going to make, man? We're going to make a souffle, bro.
We'll set a souffle.
He goes, we're going to make, I don't know, is there a cake that you pour something on it and you can't light it on fire?
A creme brulee?
No, that's what he was. Creme brulee is like flan.
Yeah.
Don't they put that little.
They
that
torch
little,
it.
Yeah.
That's what he would say, creme brulee. Did you always have a big Thanksgiving growing up, Pooh?
It wasn't super big, dude, but like a turkey and ham.
Turkey, no, damn.
Potatoes.
And ham.
Yeah.
To eating rich. A Christmas story. Yeah.
And hell no, that shit got bought on special like 6 months before Rodrigo the day.
Rodrigo came out of a Charles Dickens story right
there. a Norman Rockwell painting.
Back then, man, did they really eat goose?
A goose? I guess so. Wherever there's geese. Because
that fool said, like in a Christmas duck story, Charles Dickens story, he goes, go get the goose. The biggest goose you can find.
Well, don't they shoot?
They goose or they call the turkey goose?
He's British, right?
No, it's geese. Yeah, it's geese over there.
They shoot goose and all that.
And I don't know that the turkeys were domesticated over there. Turkeys are like an offshoot of a goose.
Because the first Thanksgiving.
Well, it's not an offshoot.
They didn't even have documented turkey. It was like leek like eel.
It's wild stuff.
So that's the part of the weird, man. That's what you know, swan.
A crane, dog.
No, they ate goose more, but turkeys. I think turkeys.
Depending
on
where you're at,
you
what you're at. Eh? And I know that in Monterey they eat pelicans, bro.
No,
that probably tastes nasty, dog.
Oh man, I love the neck. I love that pelican neck.
But like they'll serve like quail in some places, you know, like wild birds.
Fucking Hussein,
yeah.
He'll fuck up a quail like a no problem.
Over here picking up the belly pellets.
I used to eat a lot of young hens. Cornish hens.
Codornices?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never made them, but I've ate them at people's house.
Sometimes I felt like, are we really eating Cornish hen? Or this would just give me a pichon. A pigeon.
Dude, have you ever eaten pigeon? I've never
eaten. Where my dad's from, I went with a bunch of kids hunting for them, bro. They were all gone.
Hey, fool, there's these people that live over there by Drew Street and the avenues that they eat pichon, dog, because they're from Guerrero, dog. And I think they eat the street ones.
Gross.
Sick, dog.
That's like that guy in the trailer park I grew
it
up in.
It tastes gamey,
homie. He was eating squirrels. He would eat the squirrels in the neighborhood. It's not my uncle. He's just an old guy.
Times were tough.
He would gut the squirrels in his front yard.
He made a slingshot out of the veins.
Yeah, man. But my favorite cake is a German chocolate cake, by the way. To let you know.
Auf Wiedersehen.
That's just bombed. The middle part,
German chocolate cake is dark chocolate.
Yeah, and soft.
Yeah, and the regular chocolate cake here in America is the milk chocolate. Like my favorite cake is I always tell people is the yellow cake, bro. Duncan Hines.
Oh,
chocolate
one?
On it, dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I made that once for you.
Once.
I like those box of chocolate. They're good. The cakes, the cake in a box, all that. Dude,
the microwave one. Lisa made a cake like that in a hotel once, and it was good.
Oh, yeah, when you were in Corpus, right?
And skills over here.
No, I made brownies. I made brownies.
Oh, dude, we were at the munchies, dog.
Nothing was open?
But we had got those at Walmart probably, and she put them in a mic. Oh, by the way, I was staying in, when I was staying in Corpus Christi that one time with Lisa, we're doing Gators. With John Roman, but it was I was staying away from the ocean, but I was in the city, bro. Like there was actually cars.
Really?
You know when you're staying, bro. Oh,
right there on the edge.
I'd never been there before. I didn't believe that there was an ocean nearby. I was like, there's nowhere. This is like strip mall central was where we were.
Yeah, yeah. When we were staying at, bro, I swear to God, it looked like Huntington Park.
Are you serious?
Or yeah, Ontario.
Or Pepe Serna's high school was, huh?
Yeah, because you've always stayed by the bay,
the bay right there.
Yeah, man, the Bayfront Inn, bro, your favorite hotel.
Roachiest hotel ever, dog.
Yeah, man. So that's the way for our Thanksgiving has always been turkey. Unless, just like I mentioned last year, when my aunt and my mom ruined it by making tamales. They boiled that shit, dog.
Well, the entire turkey?
The entire turkey.
Just to make the meat for the tamales? Yeah.
And Salvadorans have sandwiches. I found that out the wrong way.
Pan de pavo? Or what is it called?
Pan de pavo.
So you like it?
Ya está listo el pan de pavo.
You guys like it?
No, I didn't. We were vegan at that time when we found out. So we were really happy. We brought our own food with us.
I don't know, man. You can sit there, man. Everybody just else enjoy sandwiches, bro.
I don't know. What's up with that?
Like, I don't just want a sandwich.
Would you just save the turkey meat till after to make the sandwiches?
Yeah, I mean, I always thought it was a leftover sort of idea. But no, this is the main course for them.
That's how they do it down there, huh?
It was funny when his brother walked in, Albert walked in. And
someone
was like,
got offended?
Damn, we didn't have ham for Easter. We didn't have... He didn't realize that this was like a traditional Salvadorian tradition.
Welcome
to the family.
He was like, there's no turkey? There's no ham? What? Like, he was all mad about that.
Dude, that'll suck.
But then everybody turned to... his brother's wife and was like kind of embarrassed because this was like her family's tradition.
Yeah, man, you know, it's a type of family where the dad has no shame, you know, flossing in the living room.
That pom de pavo sticky on that
What's
molar.
What's the other
huh?
word for it?
Chompies.
No, like.
Oh, that's Gutierrez.
Oh, fool! I was watching Chompies on the internet. I was on a plane flying, watching Chospirito, bro. And I was dying, bro.
One.
Edible, hit in.
Hey, why'd you call that fool that? He reminded you of that fool?
Fool, I'll show you right now, dog.
Dude, I remember that fool found out, dog. That fool was bummed, dog.
Hey, man, I don't like jokes. I don't like nicknames, bro.
Hey, man,
I'm too old for nicknames.
I'm like you guys over here, man. I'm in my 50s.
Hey, bro, if you're too old for nicknames, hang out with people your age, dog.
They're all dead.
Pan con chumpe is the another
pan
word.
Pan con chumpe for our Salvadorian friends in Virginia.
Now, is that from El Salvador or is that from Salvadorians in America?
El Salvador.
Whoa.
I don't know. They have pavos over there, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
Where they find those turkeys over there? They got a bunch of pichones together, bro.
You used to watch that as a kid?
Hell yeah, bro. Come on, dog. They don't let him, dog.
No. I totally forgot about that fool till you brought it up that one time. I mean, I used to watch the reruns as a kid. That's about it, dude. But, oh, my God, dude. Hey, man.
I'm still jumping up, bro. Yeah, man. So, what's up, fool? What you been up to, man? You have any shows coming up?
Not right now, but I did a show last night.
Where at?
In West Covina with all the guys from the old school, you know?
Really, man? So, no one got paid. So, I guess no one got paid.
No, we did, though. Oh, my God.
Who was there, bro?
Chivago, Alfredo, Johnny Roque, and this dude named Bebos. You had met him before?
Alfredo Roble had the guy with the newest clothes, huh?
Yeah.
That's how it is, dog. Hey, man. Alfredo Roble knows how to do it, bro. You show up on the road, man. You don't got to talk much. Just show up with new stuff. People start saying, what happened, bro? Gabriel bought you those shoes.
Ah, oh, dude, come on.
That's what they always say, man.
That's what they said about Chepo, right? Chepo. When he was working with you. Or yeah. No, they said it about Rodrigo.
About Rodrigo.
You bought my truck.
He says you can't, it's like, it's like you can't show, you got to show up poor in front of them? I mean, the Alfred got to show up with a crew cut?
I got to wear my old sneakers.
I know, man. How many, I don't know, man. You could take those food out to lunch. You could take them out to dinner. They're never going to be happy.
Bro. Oh, dude, man. It's time to hand out Kleenex this Christmas again, dog.
Yeah, they're all out there, bro, waiting for the next TV credit.
Dude, it's crazy, dog. Stories about the devil, too. It's hilarious.
Oh, man, still?
Yeah, dog.
Oh, man. Some.
He got banned,
dude,
from all the rooms over
there. Shout out to Alex DeLarge, bro.
He sent you that video?
Who went to every mall.
No, he went to Apple Store.
I'm exaggerating.
I'm sorry.
I spoiled my wife, man. You know, I have a sentimental feeling for her. She speaks when she should listen.
I forgot this is a patriarchal show.
But what happened with that? Alex DeLarge.
You know what it felt like right now? It felt like when in Drugstore Cowboy, when Matt Dillon was trying to make that deal. And he goes, and he was trying to jack that homie for that for those pills. He was trying to overjack him, like take all his pills for $50. Uh-huh. Then that chick came in, no, but she did the right math. And she messed up the deal. And that fool was kicked out of the house. And then she OD'd.
Oh, damn, dog.
I love Drugstore Cowboy.
Yeah, you like that movie?
I love the way they dress.
That fool.
But then you grew up and realize people are bums.
They were ahead of their time, huh?
They're just straight up losers, bro, breaking into drugstores to steal Xanax and steal everything.
Back in the day. That's that dude Max is in that movie, dog.
Max.
That fool you took a picture with.
Oh, that's right, bro. If we took that knife, we were going to choke him, huh? We took a picture with, what's his name, Max?
Max.
He was in Gleaming the Clue.
Yeah.
The Beastie Boys friend.
Yeah.
He didn't blow?
Trying to think of his last name.
What happened with Alex DeLarge, though?
Oh, that fool, he went to an Apple store and he subscribed all their phones, all their tablets, all their computers to the What's Up Fool podcast.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Yeah. Some guerrilla
and
marketing.
And videotaped it, dog.
Oh, are you serious?
That's how you do it, people. That's how you get invited to the anniversary show. That's how you get invited to the... That's how you get invited to the fucking
premiere.
The premiere. That's how you get invited to get a free vinyl. That's right. We got the vinyls are here. Look at that. Felipe Esparza, What's Up Fool?
Max Perlick awesome, is that guy's name?
Yeah.
Max Perlick. Yeah, Max Perlick from Blow. We took a photo with him one time in
little
the rain.
Tiny guy.
And we're loaded, huh?
Hell yeah.
We're buying beer and that fool he just surprised that two big ass fools recognized him. And we got around him, and that fool took his knife out to take the photo because thought we were going to strangle him. Felipe Esparza translate this. The album is out, people. We got
December 1st.
Get your vinyl.
And the digital
Lisa,
release.
Tell them, please.
The digital release will be out December 1st as well on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, all those places.
Only
and
limited on vinyl?
Limited on vinyl. We have 500 copies in existence. They're all stamped with the foil stamp on the back. They're all numbered.
Right on.
And there's a poster inside as well.
Oh,
and
fuck yeah.
If you buy the vinyl, you get a download card, and you can download the digital as well.
Only available online?
Only available online on felipesworld.com/shop, but it won't be available until December 1st.
Right on. That's fucking
right
bitchy.
On. So what's cool. up, fool?
What's up, dog?
We got to get about these shows here, dog. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this week, I think my eyesight's getting better, bro. There's better lighting.
I think it's because I wrote it on yellow paper.
Maybe. But I'm trying to, oh, let me see. Let's test on my
right
eyes
here.
On something else here.
On some of your handwriting in there.
All right, let's try it out right here. Hold on. Wait a minute. Oh, look at that old dried up blunt left in there.
Fuck.
Okay, I'm
funeral.
Back. Okay. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. My eyesight is normal. This week, Ontario Improv, December 3rd, sold out. Okay, I do need my glasses. This week, ladies and gentlemen, we're in Odessa, Midland, Texas. Odessa, Midland at the what theater?
That is the Wagner Noel.
The Wagner Noel. It'll be Rodrigo Torres, Keith Manning, Get Off the Field.
Man.
And myself. I forgot to give him a Get Off the Field for the Raiders losing.
Fuck, dog. Dude,
hold the score.
37-0, I think. No, they scored once. 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They got
bad.
The 2-point conversion.
And half
in
of
Mexico.
Half of the Raiders fans got deported.
Yeah, dude. Marshawn Lynch stood up during the Mexican national anthem.
And he sat down during American
and then
one.
Trump,
yeah.
And then Trump started tweeting
this
about
morning,
it this morning.
Huh?
Somebody told him out. Who ratted him out?
I don't know. Well, you know that fool
I
don't
think
watch
he was
games.
Watching. It was moments after it happened. He started tweeting.
What happened?
And then he tweeted again this morning.
What did he say?
He was saying that he should be suspended. That the NFL should consider suspending him for doing that. How disrespectful it was.
You got to tell Donald Trump to get off the field.
Get off the field. Really?
Yeah, dog. But he had a good-ass run, a 25-yard run, dude. First one, dog.
But I shouldn't be excited that they were losing 37-0 because the Chargers lost by a lot, too.
Yeah, the Rams got pelted, too, dog.
The Rams are doing good. You know who's doing
pelted.
Good? The Eagles.
Yeah, dude, they only have one loss. Did they win yesterday? I didn't watch that game.
They won. They were 8-1.
Oh, okay. Oh, so they won last night. Fucking Patriots.
It's
going to
be disappointing, bro. They make it all the way and not make it.
Oh, I know, huh?
Got to get to them Raiders.
That's what I'm talking about.
What's up, fool? I didn't know that Adrian Gonzalez still owed $22 million.
Are you serious?
I
or
just
what?
Found out today
no,
from the Dodgers.
That's his contract.
He has 1 year contract.
Oh, that's what he's owed?
Yeah.
Oh, is he going
to
play or what?
They're trying to get that guy, Stanton, and there's this badass Japanese player, bro, who could pitch and hit.
Really?
So when he's not pitching, he's a DH in Japan.
Really? He's that badass?
He's that badass. But do you want a guy that's going to be hitting and pitching, bro?
I don't know, dog. Didn't seem to work this last World Series run.
Yeah, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Next week, December 1st through the 3rd, sold out. That's right. Sold out on Ontario Improv. It's been sold out for 2 months.
2 months.
Two months.
First time that's happened.
First time that's happened, man. Comedy Magic Club, Hermosa, California, December 7th, sold out. Addison, Texas. We're going to Addison, Texas. Rodrigo, and Toby Hicks.
Nebraska's finest.
That's right. December 14th through the 17th. Also, man, be on the lookout. I might be doing the comedy store. So that'll pop up out of nowhere. We won't promote it till the night before. So if you really want to catch me, I'll be doing a big show with big comedians and a big audience at the comedy store. Fool.
What up,
speaking of the comedy store, dog, I found my old set list from the comedy store, bro. I was going through my garage, because I have a garage now, and I found, check this out, I found my set list from November 28, 2000, dog.
Damn.
17 years ago, look. That's when I was printing, bro. It says comedy store, homeless, because I saw this buff-ass homeless guy on the way to the comedy store. I remember he was hungry. I told him, don't ruin that body. and then about body piercing, my sister's overweight. She got a hula hoop. Old-ass jokes. Full crappy car. They stole my crappy car. I couldn't believe when they stole my car, man. They told me, Felipe, they stole your car, really? Instead of being sad, I was flattered. Cause I was old school, bro. You know, and then like I had like I was going through this notebook, dog, and man, dude, I got my budget here for the year 2000, bro. Look, my rent was $380 a month. So I was living in a studio this small, right? It was this small, right? The bedroom was smaller than this. Actually, it was this size. I used to live in a room. The size that we're in right now.
In the little kitchen?
For $380 a month, bro. I didn't have to pay no water. I didn't have to pay for no gas and no electricity. So, you know me, bro. I just leave that place with the lights on. So, dude, and then my phone bill was $78.
Landline?
Landline.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And my car payment was $321.
That's a lot, too.
Bro, let me tell you why my car payment was $321.
What happened?
Well, fool, I got strong arm into a car deal with Leo's cars.
Oh, he got you that fucked up ass financing, huh?
Of course he did, dog.
What nobody, a dick.
Nobody wanted to finance me. And Leo, Leo the Judio, Leo's a Cuban guy, by the way.
No credit. Like
Leo was, he's still around, man, Silver Lake. He's a car dealership in Silver Lake on Sunset. If you need a car, man, if you no one wants to give you a car and you're responsible, man, if you don't mind someone knocking on your door for that car payment.
Was it 21%?
I always joke around with it. They ask me, Felipe, how'd you sign up for that car, bro? You practically paid double what it's worth.
The Montero?
Yeah, the green Montero, bro.
Damn.
And
dude.
It went from $5,995. To $7,995 when I paid for it.
Two G's and a half for
financing? Yeah, two G's to it in financing. And I remember, man, my payments were $321 a month, and sometimes we'll give them more. But I remember one time I showed up late. It was like a week late. That fool took the money, and that fool said, he looked at me and said like this, "You're slipping, homie." Fool, I remember when I signed the deal, right? His Cuban cousin had just got released from prison. And he was speeding down Sunset on a red Corvette with no T-shirt on, bro. Buff as hell.
Damn.
No T-shirt on. And he was wearing just jeans and cholo shoes, bro. He was bald as fuck, but no T-shirt on. And he goes, oh, man. He said, oh, man. And I thought he was down, right? He said, oh, man. And he goes, what's that? Oh, my cousin, man. He just got out. He just got out in a Corvette. Oh, yeah, man. He sells cars, too. So, man, as soon as that fool came in, he was standing behind me. And that's when I said, yeah, man, I'll buy the car. Just keep this guy in a red Corvette away from my house.
God damn, dude.
I signed a deal right there.
Who hooked you up with that guy?
I walked in there.
Really? Because who else got a car from that fool?
Fool, I walked in there, and then there was a girl working there, and she knew my comedy. And then I started talking to him. He knew my comedy. Then I said, man, I want to get a car. you know, but I have bad credit, you know, but I could give you a lot down. That's when my check from my first TV show came out, when I did a Showtime in 96.
Oh, 96. Damn.
So in 96, I did that show. 97, I did a show on Showtime. 98, 99. And then all those shows were sold to CBS. And that show was coming out at 2 in the morning. Luckily for SAG, AFTRA, American Federation of TV and Radio, on that place, they went after enough people complained, and I got my money, bro. Everyone was sent 2 G's.
Oh, damn. So you guys got a cut of the action?
We got a cut. It's like we got paid, like we just did the show again. So all those shows that I was on, they sent me a check, and I used half of that for a down payment, the rest for weed. Because Gabriel Iglesias got the first check. I go, Felipe, did they send you a check from Que Loco, from Galavision, from Funny is Funny? He goes, not yet. Then I got a check, bro, and I got it, dog.
Funny is Funny was a show before Que Loco's, huh? Is that Mencia was hosting it?
Yeah, man. So that was my car payment, bro. That was my budget, bro. My budget was every month I had to make $1,079. So I guess I have $300 right here. So, yeah, man. So look at, man. This, I have my budget for the next 3 weeks, bro. Right here in 2000. And I know this week I was making $180. All right? The next week I was making $180. And Friday I was making $150 from one night. So, bro, that was my budget, dog. I don't think I ever made $10,000 in a year. But, bro, with $380 a month in rent, that's cheap.
Dude, that's a nice spot for $380, dog.
I want to look at how my possible que loco said right here. Reflect on your life. You ever go home after a night of partying, and reflect on your life?
Every night.
And you lay down and you say, man, I haven't done shit. But then you hit your brother in a bunk bed, but you're the loser up there. Before I did that joke last night two nights ago at the Army base.
I want to always use a kill Vinny, dog.
Before I had my comedy store set from October 12, 2000. Starbucks joke. Have a Tybo joke.
Fucking Billy Blanks, dog.
Yeah, man. Because I remember I had a joke that compared Starbucks coffee to AMPM coffee, because AMPM coffee was like $1, uh-huh, and Starbucks was $3. And he goes, come on, man. What would you spend $1 for coffee? What would you spend $3 for coffee at Starbucks when you could go to AMPM and order a coffee, buy a coffee for $1.50 and eat a donut with your back turned to the guy? Fool. Lakewood Golf Tournament Show. And I remember that show, bro. It was October 13, 2000. It was me and Gabriel Iglesias and Rudy Moreno. We did a show for them, bro. And these guys were golfing all day. You talk about being sexist and machismo. Macho. Say what, Lisa?
Machismo.
Machismo and being self, male chauvinist. This was the show, bro.
Those dudes?
All these dudes were all fucking fat with fucking red. You know golf guys, Lisa?
Oh, yeah.
How they look?
With their shirts tucked over their really big bellies. Their shirts tucked
tightly. You can see their
tightly.
Fucking bulge when they sit
pinky
down.
Pinky ring.
Yeah.
Those are golf guys.
But these guys were all Latino. And some white guy and some black dudes, bro.
The outfit doesn't discriminate. The type doesn't
discriminate. It does not discriminate,
all
bro.
Races look
these
the same.
These guys
look
like they were
golf.
The cast of Caddyshack, bro.
Yeah.
So I remember this show very well because there was a bunch of girls walking around, bro, and I felt weird for them because I was weirded up because they were all dudes, and the only girls that were walking around were Corona girls. Mm-hmm. They were all Corona girls in their bathing suits, bro.
Damn.
The guys were like, ow, ow.
The whole time?
Yeah, bro, shoo. And I'm like, god damn, right? So then I got to go do comedy, bro. He goes, man, these guys are horny, bro. These guys are excited. Like, this girl's not the Corona girl, the Viagra girl. Then I said that, man, this is a good show. These women are actually beautiful. They're respectable. I remember doing that. I was giving them props. The last show I did, man, the badass Budweiser girl, man. I said, wow, man, I guess the 40-ouncer girl showed up. Yeah, man.
Yeah, the golf course guys are gross. I used to be a beer cart girl.
Don't be lying.
No, I was. I already told you that.
The legend of Badger Vance.
I did it my first year before I was old enough to wait tables and serve alcohol there. But for some reason, I was able to serve beer on the cart at 19. No. I hated those guys. I hated them.
Shoot at them.
I was hoping they'd never come over to my cart. I didn't want to make money there. I didn't want to talk to any of those guys. They were gross.
How much beer you sold? You had your own beer cart? So yeah. You follow them?
Yeah, I had to, like, I went hole to hole. And there are three courses, so I would drive around one, then I'd go to the next
one. 18 hole courses?
But you'd compete with the other beer cart girls, and it was just like, it was tough.
Was there any beer cart girl with big boobs showing them off?
No, nobody showed anything
off. Any older ladies?
Older ladies, yeah. Yeah, there was an older lady.
Yeah, Peggy Hill. I don't know
she
Peggy
was
Hill.
Very Peggy Hill-like.
Luann.
But she had been doing it for quite a while, every summer.
That's like remind me of that King of the Hill when that she got that job at the golf course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
remember and, Peggy wants to get a job
and
there?
And Luann said, yeah. Yeah, there's some older ladies, but they don't make much money. Nobody likes them.
Oh, dumb.
Oh, man. Oh, my God, dude. We have King of the Hill on Amazon, I think.
It's on repeat at it's the on house repeat with at the house. Seinfeld. Seinfeld and King of the Hill.
Seinfeld, King of the Hill, and now everybody loves Raymond. And King of Queens gets played a lot at the house.
Yeah.
But there's this one episode, man, on King of the Hill that's fucked up, bro. I mean, for Peggy Hill, at least.
Which one?
It's the one where Hank goes to the neighbor's house, Dale's house, and she's surprising him. What's her name?
Who?
Dale. Oh. Suge?
Suge.
Yeah,
hey, Suge. Can you come over here and heat up the jacuzzi for me, Suge?
Nancy. Yeah.
Nancy. So this goes over there, man, and he never used kerosene. He never used propane for that, to warm up a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
So that gets him excited, bro.
But it's a very sexual undertone to the whole
sexual undertone, because that's where the dream that he sees Nancy naked, bro. They're barbecuing.
But when he's hooking up the propane and it turns on the jets, he goes, oh, when he finally gets the propane connected and the jet comes out at the same time.
Yeah.
Very,
And then the jet spring or,
And he's like, oh, and he's all sweaty.
So when Peg asks him, what you dream about? And she thinks it's her, bro.
But then when she finds out he's dreaming about Nancy, she's hurt. And then he wakes up in a cold sweat one night, and she says, what's wrong, Hank? Did you dream about some other ugly woman?
Over there all dreaming about John Redcorn's lady.
Yeah.
Was it dream about me disguised as Nancy?
She thought Nancy was wearing a mask in the dream.
Oh, my favorite episode is when she's the Spanish teacher, substitute teacher, and that little guy's getting on her nerves and she spanks him.
She spanks him.
He's like, en español, por favor.
No, when they pants her, bro.
Oh, my God.
That's the same
dude.
Episode.
Yeah,
when
dude.
He pants us her. And
dude, it was so funny, dog. That show was funny as hell, dude.
I love that show.
Yeah, man. So January, people. January, I'm coming to Boulder, Colorado, Portland, Oregon, Chicago, Illinois, New York City, Coachella, California, Tucson, Arizona. Check out other dates, links at Felipe's.com/tour. December 1st.
The vinyl, we already mentioned.
December 1st, the vinyl. Also, Rodrigo Torres will be at these shows, Boulder, Colorado. I think Boulder, Colorado, if you're out there, anybody from Boulder, Colorado, if you have a medicinal shop, we'll do a meet. Rodrigo would love to do a meet and greet over there to promote our show. And we might get there a day early, so if you guys have a one in Denver, we'll drive up from Denver, from Boulder. You don't mind driving, right?
No,
we'll
it's
check
good.
It out, bro.
It's like an hour.
We'll spend a day over there, man, and we'll hang out, man, and we'll bring a couple of vinyls and sell them there for you guys and sign them.
Oh.
They're not all gone.
Okay.
We're just talking shit.
I'm just worried about you taking vinyl on the road to another place. I don't want it to get crushed.
Maybe take five.
I have to put it in the special box.
Special box. I mean, you have a vinyl. We can't open that one, huh?
I don't want to open that one because it's numbered. We'll get one of the ones that's not numbered.
You haven't opened it up yet?
Mm-mm. No.
No.
It's
a double album.
The test pressing, no artwork?
Yeah, there's no artwork in the test pressing, so.
Damn, dude. It looks badass, dude.
I like it. I can't wait to open
it
up.
It's the heavy vinyl, too, by the way. It's the thick one. It's the good quality.
That's funny. Right now, I was scratching my nose, and I looked at the video, and it looked like I was picking my nose. Oh, they said, Felipe, eat a booger. Oh, look at the back, bro. It has, what are we going to know? Who?
Stony Danza.
Stony Danza. Oh, in the front, huh?
He's in the... Stony is in the on the front.
You're on it too right there, bro. The striped t-shirt.
Birdman. Yeah, Rodrigo in the back. And then that's Raymond Fiddler, the native guy from San Jose.
And a couple of the guys from the
the bike club. And then Isaiah's in the back.
Homeboy that passed?
He passed away last year before the special was
aired. A badass bike I was riding, man. Wow, man. So the album is how long?
It's a full hour.
We broke it down in four records. Two albums, I guess. Nice.
And I have to say something. This vinyl has the recording of the Sweet Caroline bit on the vinyl album.
It's not on the special?
It is on the special, okay. But it's not on the digital.
Oh, okay.
So it does appear here on the vinyl. It does not appear on the digital because of rights and having, you know, we had to pay to use that. For you to do that joke, we had to pay Neil Diamond, and we had to
look,
pay.
Bro,
we're still making money.
We had to pay the guy who wrote "Volver, Volver" as well, but it was worth it to keep it in the special. It's a good joke.
Special thanks to Kelsey and Lynn.
Kelsey Lynn.
ICM, El Magical, Bill Burr, Oscar Morales, All Things Comedy, and my brother Fernando, aka Patti, who took one for the team. It's tight, huh?
Yeah, the inside's nice too. We should. Let me text Oscar so he can bring the non-numbered in. So
first vinyl ever, too, huh?
Yeah.
Check it out, people. You can see that. What's up, fool, man? Bro, how you been, man? I've been looking to be here, bro.
Why? What are you saying? What happened, fool?
I woke up in the morning. Really, I was my last. I did 8 Army shows, 8 Army bases. And the last one I did was, it was 1 hour north of Syracuse. I was 20 minutes from the Canadian border.
Oh, damn. So you're all over there by Niagara Falls and all that shit?
Yeah, I'm close to that. I was by one of the lakes from the Lake Erie was near me in New York. I don't know which one it was. They didn't tell me. But I was in Fort Drum by Watertown, New York.
Upstate.
And, bro, we were leaving at 7 in the morning, okay? And when I got up at 6, I looked out my window, and the cement was still black, you know, the concrete, the asphalt. But I could see that it was snowing. Like, the reflection of the wind, of the light outside, you know, something you can see.
You caught it?
I caught it, right? And there was snow coming out. Dude. So at 6:20, I looked outside again, right? It was still black. By the time I came out at 7, it was white, fool.
The ground?
The ground, everything, bro. Like West Nyack, New York.
All of a sudden.
All powdery, soft snow. And our driver picked us up, right? I saw Finesse Mitchell outside chilling, waiting. And then I told the driver, man, are we going to make it, man? Oh, man, this is nothing. You know, for somebody who doesn't live in snow, bro, to us it's everything.
So he goes,
oh, man, this is nothing, dog. This guy's been in the Army 30 years, you know, driving everywhere, bro, shooting people. I trusted him, I guess.
Seen it all.
Full of humor, bro.
Humor.
Dude, that fool, man, I never been anywhere where there was snow, and we were the only ones in the road, dog. Like, look behind us, there was no one. Nobody came in front of us. Then I kept thinking about, are you going to be safe?
It's better if nobody's driving around you.
And then there was only one car track, bro. And we were following him. We couldn't see him. But there was only one car in front of us. I know that because I could see the tire tracks.
Uh-huh.
And then, but it was not snowing anymore. But it was all white. And then Finesse Mitchell said, hey, man, are we going to be all right? So he pulls over to the side, and there was like 4 18-wheelers who pulled to the side too. And then guess what, bro? A snow plow passed by. So thank you, Jesus. We follow that motherfucker for as long as he can drive. And we follow him to the end of the road, dog, going at 35, 50, 45 miles an hour. Then we got to the main highway, and it was open, man. But it was still snow. On the side of it, but there was no snow on the dirt.
They cleaned it out.
They cleaned it out. Then that food started going fast, bro. fast. We swerved a little bit.
Really?
And he goes, man, why are you going so fast? In my head. I was, man, in one of those times where, man, I was in the back seat guiding the road with my eyes, bro. Like, oh, man. So, man, when we get to the Syracuse, no snow in Syracuse yet. But over there was snow hell.
How far was it from the airport? Like 2 hours?
An hour and 15 minutes.
There it is.
Here we go, bro. We got the vinyl, the opening. It's the backdrop of the show. So you can see it right there.
Hell yeah, dude. All little. So that poster, dog.
There's no poster in this one, I don't think. Oh, wait. There is a poster.
There is a poster. Oh, shit. It comes with a poster.
Well, it's this front cover.
Yeah, man. It's nice.
It's the HBO poster.
Fuck yeah, dude.
It comes with a poster and it comes with a digital thing. Oh, shit. Look. Check it out, people. A 33. With heart, too, Rigo. It ain't thin.
Yeah. It's hard, too.
You're the one who gets cracked on someone's head.
Those are the ones that are, like, left out outside and on the sun. They get all brittle, man. Yeah. They're not supposed to break.
Yeah, man. So we're driving through the snow, fool. Driving through the snow. I'm like, I have one little caramel edible. I said, I'm glad they didn't eat it.
Well,
I've been paranoid the whole time.
Freaking out.
But when we get there, man, we told that guy, man, thank you very much for bringing us safe off my job.
Was he in a hurry or what the fuck?
He has to be in a hurry, bro.
Well, he had to get him to the airport on time, but they weren't. It was just, you know, like an hour. I think he left, what, an hour and a half before
you
were supposed to be there? It took an hour and a half to get there.
It took an hour and a half, dude, in that storm. Fool. It was crazy, fool. Crazy. I'll show you what it felt like. Nope. I was lucky to get there, bro. It was crazy, man.
Cold as hell out there right now? Even before the snow got there?
It was 34 when I got there. Then it started snowing. And the other comedian, Seton Smith, he left the night before. He lucked out, bro. He would have been all in the mix. He had a 5-hour drive.
Damn.
To Brooklyn.
That's crazy. I don't know why you'd want to drive all the way down there.
So I did 8 shows, fool. But, man, one of the better shows I did was I had fun in all the shows I did. But Brooklyn, bro. Oh, my God. Brooklyn, I did on Fort Hamilton. And it's in Brooklyn on Bay Ridge, like, the Bay Ridge Bridge?
No, that's the Verrazano
Bridge. Verrazano Bridge. It's this big bridge.
Verrazano Narrows.
And, man, when I was talking to the guy from the Army, he goes, how long has this base been here? He goes, been here since, like, 1785.
I think it was 1786 was what you
Yeah,
said.
right after the
Revolutionary War.
that was, like, to protect them from the British showing up again and taking over Brooklyn.
Damn.
He said that he goes, had the president been here? He goes, President Trump been here? He goes, President Trump been here one time before he was president. He was trying to buy this place and making them condominiums.
Because it's right on the water.
Right on the water, bro.
At the prime, perfect spot.
Prime real estate.
It's like what Manhattan Bridge area is now. Like not the Manhattan, like down under the Manhattan Bridge, they call it Dumbo. Down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass. And it was like squatters and stuff for a long time. But then now it's prime real estate.
That's the view from my hotel. Left the bridge.
Dude. So that's New York City. Yeah.
It's right at the end of Brooklyn.
Right there, bro. Nice. And quiet, too.
Chill,
man. Oh, and when we get to Brooklyn, man, it's like right in the state, like, man, red brick houses. Nice neighborhood, Bay Ridge, man.
That's where Fred grew up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sheephead's Bay, right?
Sheephead Bay? I thought it was Bay Ridge. All right. Never mind. I'm wrong.
But it's nearby. Like when we were driving away, I saw Coney Island. I saw the merry-go-round. Mm-hmm. It's a nice neighborhood, man. I liked it. We went to the guy's house to hang out. And, dude, they owned the apartment. His mom bought it in 2000 for $400,000.
Damn, back then?
Just an apartment, bro. Not a house. There's no lawn.
Not like a whole floor of style apartment. It's just a regular apartment.
No, and it's just like any other apartment where you cook and the whole house smells.
Yeah. 400,000. But now you said it was worth like 700 something now, right?
An apartment, dog. That means someone else owns the building you live in. He sells it, you're done, or what?
No, you'd still own that piece, but you'd have a different person managing it.
Probably pay a little fee, like a...
You pay usually a management fee or a co-op fee or whatever.
So I went on top of the roof and kicked it. It was nice, man. Oh, okay. Taking that photo. Man. I starved, though. There was no food, but I went to go eat at a Thai restaurant over there. It was good.
Bomb.
Bomb. They had roti.
Damn.
And they had curry.
Hell yeah, that shit is bomb as hell.
Roti and curry is the best thing in the world.
How'd you sustain out there, fool?
Eating nutter butter as well. And Oreos.
Well, because they give him the snacks as the rider, but the kitchens, they just don't have like the people equipped to make a vegan meal. So, or like anything off the whatever they've got, right? They
lettuce
make sandwiches.
Wraps.
They make, what do they make for the other guys?
Fort Aberdeen, Maryland, that place. There was good food there. There was a guy, man, that was the chef there. He was another guy that was in the Army 25 years and retired and opened up a restaurant on the base.
Damn.
Man, he has the same personality as that chef over there in Pueblo, bro, the airport.
Oh, when we were there with Marcella.
Yeah.
The brother right there.
Yeah.
He just had to work on his burrito rap game, but the food was bomb.
Yeah, that guy. He looked just like him, bro, and the food. He had like a vegetarian chili. Shout out to Fort Aberdeen and that guy, man. That chili was good, dude. It was delicious. And so he made me a veggie burger, too. So when I got to my room, bro, just poured that chili over my burger, microwaved it, and I still had a vegan cheese left over. Bam.
Yeah, that,
it was good, man.
That chef did a meet and greet after he was done cooking off of
him. Yeah, man. They were all happy, bro. Like, I guess there was a woman, like, She's an officer, man. She's an officer, probably a sergeant or something. She was wearing her whole camouflage outfit. She goes, man, I drove fast from my job to get here. I didn't have time to change. She was so happy.
She wanted to see the show.
She wanted to see the show. There was a lot of black people, man, who are my fans who showed up to my show.
Right there in New York?
Yeah, and older ladies, too, like older women, like older women who watch NBC.
Uh-huh.
You know, who stay up and watch television, the older people, they were at the show, too. A lot of staff sergeants, lieutenants were at the show. Maybe one colonel at one show went to the show. Oh, man, but he still had a good time.
Hell yeah, dude.
Most of the people at the show were families of the of the soldiers and workers who work on the base. They get paid well, bro.
I bet. And if you're a family member of the soldier, you can go into the base, too? Mm-hmm.
Dude, your grandma did that, right?
Her husband, my step-grandfather, he died from war injuries, and she was still always able to go to the base, to the BX, the
commissary,
and to get groceries and stuff and buy stuff there. So
they were good, man.
Yeah.
Finesse Mitchell was going to be here, right? But he's going to do Tony Rock's game show, but it was fool hanging out with that fool, man.
Cool as hell.
He's cool as hell, man. I didn't know that he played for the University of Miami.
Really?
He played with Warren Sapp.
Are you serious?
On that team.
What's the University of Miami? Hurricanes?
Hurricanes. They're up right now. Yeah. They're really doing well right
didn't,
now.
Didn't what? The Rock, too, played over there, no?
I don't know who he played for.
Yeah.
When the Rock was there, Finesse Mitchell and Warren Sapp were there.
Oh, okay. So he's a Class A athlete then? Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Is he vegetarian or vegan, too, or no?
Hell no.
For some reason, I thought he was, dude.
No, they were all eating barbecue and stuff.
Oh, man, they were all eating barbecue. They had wings for them all the time, like good wings, dog. You would have loved them. You know, man, like, you ever had, like, barbecue wings, and they're runny?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Well, man, I don't know how they do it, bro.
Runny. Like,
you know, like, you pick it up, and then, they just
pour the sauce
is
runny. Oh.
I don't know about this one, but maybe they were old, but they were opening up and they were hot, and I just picked one up just to see what it looked like. And, man, it was crispy with a lot of barbecue on it, like candy, dog.
Well, I don't want to sound like a snob or one of those fat fools that knows all about food.
But we know you do.
But you know how they do them? You do it with the when they're done, right? And you bake them. That's the best way. But then you put the sauce on it. You let them sit, and then you put them in the oven for a little bit more.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
the way they don't get all runny.
They can get runny, too, if somebody puts too much butter in the sauce.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the key. Because if not, it gets a little candied and sticks to it, and it's a little crunchy with it, dude. My friend Shimon's dad, that's how he makes them, though.
My mom would make bloody barbecue that day.
What?
You ever been to somebody's house that makes barbecue chicken, bro, and it has blood on it?
Oh, my God.
Sleep is always afraid of bloody chicken.
Go get sick like that, dude. I got the runs like that before.
Me querían matar. Me querían matar.
Yeah, man. That lady didn't cook it all the way. I don't even understand how it gets that way when they deep fry it, dude.
They don't do it long enough. Ugh. Or they do it from frozen and they don't do it long enough. Chicken always scares me.
I've eaten a piece of barbecue chicken that was cold in the middle, dog. I still ate it, though.
Because what they'll do is they'll cook it at too high a temperature, so the outside will start to get burnt, and they think it's done.
Yeah.
Instead of realizing it's got to cook slowly so the inside gets done.
I don't want to get busted complaining, though.
Yeah. We ate at one Waffle House, bro, in somewhere in Alabama somewhere.
Rucker, Fort What'd Rucker you have? Area.
Fort Rucker. What did I have? Nothing, bro.
You can't even eat the waffle?
No. I ordered hash browns with all the vegetables.
Oh, right on.
They didn't have oatmeal there?
No.
What?
They didn't have no oatmeal. There's no oatmeal on the menu.
Or grits?
No grits either.
Yeah, but grits have butter all in.
Grits have butter. But a lot of different type of people, sure, Latinos were in there eating, bro, asking for salsa.
And Finesse, I saw his story. He had those grits with cheese, but they had a lot of extra butter in it. It was swimming in grease. It was like half an inch of grease on top.
That's the only way you can eat them, though.
Gross, man.
Yeah, they still give you those butter, bro. The ones you peel.
Yeah, the old school one.
Yeah,
and then you put a little bit of brown sugar in them.
Damn.
You don't eat grits like that? I never used to like them, man.
Oh, you're talking about sweet grits?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you make grits? No, right?
No, but that's basically what cream of wheat is, except
I love cream of wheat.
Hominy, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's corn. Grits are made from corn, but same sort of texture.
I fucking love cream of wheat.
Yeah?
Dog.
You've always liked it?
Yeah, but my mom made it horrible, though. My mom never put no sugar.
Oh, well, I never even ate.
Salty.
Oh, dude. My mom, I never had that stuff till I was older.
Yeah, my mom made good cream
she
of wheat.
She makes it with a little syrup on it.
I put bananas in it, too.
Cinnamon?
I like it, man.
Not really cinnamon, but I put a little syrup in it.
What's up? Will you have fun at Tropicalia?
Tropicalia, bro. I forgot about that shit.
Shit was
dude.
Tight, dog.
Dude. Oh, my God, man. My mom was there. My brother was there, Patty, Lisa, Isaac, sleeping. Rodrigo, his lady, Vinny and shit, missing in action at the end.
Was he going to pick up? Where did he go?
We told him to go out there, but he went to go see the Tigres from the front of house. And then he didn't get to go with us to the
Tigres
side.
Killed, huh?
Oh, my God, dude. You have no idea.
They're a solid band, huh? Dude. I like the way that how they walk around the stage, bro. They were like they were actual party,
dude. Nobody got on that stage. They were tight. That drummer's bad, dog. But you know who the baddest person is in that band?
Bass player, huh?
Yeah,
he's
good.
That fool smokes,
dog. Pinche Barcelona.
Oh, dog. Dude, you can't even mess with that guy. I know a lot of people talk about like Lee Pert and Jocko and all those guys or heavy metal dude Steve Harris. That dude's a badass bass player.
Los Tigres del Norte, man, we were at the Tropicalia show and we're going backwards on what happened, but that was probably the best of the best right there, man. It was sold out. I ate a lot of tacos.
Yeah, I didn't eat too many, but...
I ate a few just backstage there in that back area. Because we went back behind there. You didn't stay with us for that long, right, back there?
No, we just went, and then until we got to
that
point.
Oh, that's right, and then you didn't
And then you guys took
back.
Off to the...
Yeah, but they gave us a bunch more tacos when we came back, and I got some pozole from the other guy. But what I heard was that before 4 o'clock, they were only giving out one, like, mini taco, and you had to get back in line to get more. And it wasn't. That was the free stuff. Like it was samples. But
they didn't
call it samples on the.
No,
on
they
the
said
thing.
Free
they
tacos.
Said free tacos. So people were upset by that because they had to stand in line for.
I knew there was going to be a catch. Though.
Of course, there's
only one
a catch.
Taco.
One sample taco, not even like a full size taco. And then after you, if you wanted more, you had to go back to the back of the line to get the next another sucks. One. And then at 4, they started selling the full size tacos. I guess to everybody.
They were good.
Hell yeah.
But they had a lot of good varieties.
And then you hooked up the pitchers with the Tigres del Norte.
Hell yeah,
that full
man.
Sun?
Hell yeah. Jorge. Shout out to Jorge.
Yeah, shout out to Jorge Hernandez.
Jorge, the lead singer, right?
The lead singer.
His son, right?
Yeah.
They were good, huh?
Yeah,
I feel like those guys still look the same when I was a kid, bro.
Dude,
it was
trippy.
Emotional, bro. I couldn't believe it, bro.
I'll show you a picture. I'll bring it next time. It's like from 12 years ago because I snuck in backstage and took a picture with him. Like there was a line and I just got in there real quick and then they ushered me in there. It's a Polaroid. I'll bring it.
They rushed you in there like fucking Kramer at the fucking Tony's.
Yeah, dude. But you know what's crazy? Hey, dude, no, that's one backstage. I mean, I think I could snuck into Tropicália, but I can't. There's no way nobody could sneak into their backstage camp.
Yeah.
That
was tough.
Unless you swam there, bro.
Yeah, but dude, come on, dude. That big old security guard with that big ass hand, dog. That fool grabbed you by the throat, it's over, dog.
That fool was an old Mexican luchador, huh?
Yeah, that fool wasn't messing around.
How
dog.
Did Momo get up to the stands? Remember how we had to finagle?
And being fat, too.
We had to finagle and get Jorge to come help us get back on the side.
You know what happened, though? After about 30 minutes of the set, that staff pro guy left. That's what happened. Because Vinny was able to get back there, too. Because remember when we were talking about Vinny, what up?
Because I left because my back was hurting, so I went backstage and Momo wasn't there. And then next thing I saw, this video.
The staff pro guy left. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that guy.
He's your buddy that night, too, huh? He was telling everybody how we came up together, me and that fool. I was like, fool, I met you like 7 times, dog.
Who?
Momo.
He said you came up with him?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was just telling Rizzo and Roque.
That's weird.
Very weird.
Yeah, man. How'd you feel when you went up there and introduced me, bro? How many people? Dude,
it was intense, dog.
That was a lot of people, huh?
Dude, it was intense.
I was nervous as hell, bro.
I was nervous just to announce not to mess up what I had to say, dog.
You threw in one joke?
One little joke.
What'd you say?
The Gene Simmons, not Gene Simmons, but the Danny Trejo.
Oh, that one they laughed at.
Yeah. But it was, dude, was it really more than 16,000 people there?
I don't know. The cap was supposed to be 15 total.
It was, when they were.
But that's total for all state, the whole park was 15,000 is what was on the list on the breakdown.
Because right there be that Chicano Batman set, because they, like, right then is when everybody was all the way to the back where the merch was in the end. That shit was crazy, though.
I think Chicano Batman had the biggest draw of the headliners.
Yeah.
You know, because even, because Kali Uchis, people were starting to get excited. People were getting up there.
Kali Uchi, yeah.
Then
Ivy
Chicano
Queen.
Batman, well, she was on earlier. But then when Tigres came on, some of the younger people chose to leave at that point. And the crowd thinned out toward the back.
Towards the end.
Wasn't like when Chicano Batman was there. It was fully all the way to the edge. But Los Tigres, I think people took that as the opportunity to beat the traffic and stuff.
Toward the last song, people were leaving.
Yeah. I think even toward half their set. Because they did a 75-minute set. That's
yeah,
long.
They did an hour and a half, no?
Yeah, almost, yeah.
It was packed when they went up there, though, man. Salieron de San Isidro. They play good together, huh?
They're bad, dog. I've seen them probably like 7 times.
And they always sound the same?
Yeah, real good. And they were the first dude. And they're all digital, too. No mic stands, dude. You know.
Yeah, they had battery packs on and stuff. No amps. No wires connecting them.
The drummer goes up there first, hangs up his little coat, and then he starts to beat. And then those fools just pop up playing.
They have it all fine-tuned, huh?
Oh, it's perfect, dude. I noticed it just, I mean, I'm not trying to sound like it's not, but you listen to the bass in the beginning. It's a little louder, and then they brought it back down.
It was loud, dude.
It was perfect, though. Like, dude, like, they really know how to, you know, rock those big stadiums. Because I remember seeing, like, bands that started getting big and went to big venues, and they kind of don't really have it dialed in. Mm-hmm. And then you see somebody that does those big venues all the time, and it's just like, boom, perfect.
Yeah.
It sounds super important, though. And I'm sure their crew goes from back in the day, all that shit, too, you know?
Those fools all on the back, huh?
Yeah, those fools ain't playing, dog. They're super professional, dog.
They had a fool they hired just to iron their clothes, bro.
Yeah, dude. It was like meeting like big old politicians, dog. It was awesome, dude.
They're Jews, though, right?
Oh, dude, enormous, dude. I was fucking nervous.
That's for the next day they do another show, man. Like nothing, huh?
Yeah, man.
They did a big show last night in Culiacan, fool.
And then they're headed to what, Colombia or something?
Yeah.
Damn.
I told him that, man. I was telling Jorge from Los Tigres, bro, we should do a big show, bro. He was telling me Los Tigres, they want to like reach out to the younger audience. So, and they knew who I was, bro.
Yeah, dude.
I was shocked.
Because that fool's kids came to the show from Sonatron, the bass player's kids over in San Jose. And then, dude, your brother killed me, dog. He was in the back. Puro Sinaloa. I was tight, dog.
Yeah, bro, from the same state.
Yeah. Your mom was all proud. Your mom said puro Sinaloa.
So it all happened, yeah. Yeah.
She I thought she was going to throw up gang signs or something.
She saw her Sinaloa tramp stamp.
She was she was so happy to meet them.
Because, dude, like, in the 80s.
She was in their trailer.
Like, in the 70s and 80s. Dude, they were doing movies
My
and stuff.
My dad was watching
them
going, sacate, cabrón.
Hey, but think about it, dog. That's where your mom, because your dad's from Nayarit, right? Yeah. But your mom's Sinaloa, dog. Yeah, so man. It's like, because I remember.
She was all happy, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Because I remember, like, in L.A., in the greater Los Angeles area, it was really, like, all these states now that you hear Michoacán, Zacatecas, all that stuff, that's newer, like, in, like, the early 2000s, because it was only really Sinaloa.
Yeah, Sinaloa was migrating like a motherfucker.
That, you know, and Tijuana, the whole, of course. You know, the music, because, you know, the whole culture and all that stuff.
Tijuana, whenever you mention Tijuana, even in Mexico, they always thought it like low class, huh?
Yeah, man.
They still do, though?
Nah, well, it's always that state that everybody would go to fix their things and get ready to come to the U.S. But, I mean, most people came because of a hookup or they had like family here.
Tijuana basically the hub, huh?
Yeah, dude. That and Juarez, you know?
Juarez, man.
Two little border cities, man.
So I was telling I was telling him that Paul Rodriguez and I, we did a big show where he did 20 minutes and I did 20 minutes right before the bands went up. He goes, and then and I told him Malo went on, and then
Tierra
and War. He goes, we could do something like that. Where Paul does 30, I do 30, and then maybe War or Los Cadetes and Los Tigres, man. We get off, then by that time, you know. Because I think it's better, man, to do the comedy first. You can't be putting no comedy after a little Chicano Batman, bro.
It doesn't work in between like
that. It's always
that.
Been
it's
like that. Hell yeah.
It's tough. I mean, that sort of. I was really stressed about that show, and I wasn't even performing. And it wasn't that long, but the stressful part.
I was stressed, too, but at least I was hiding behind a big-ass tux.
The stressful part is waiting, trying to figure out, like, what kind of jokes would work in a little 5-minute. Because, like, you know, let's say half those people didn't know who you were. And then there were some who were fans, and then some people who had heard of you. So you're mixing it up with your jokes and stuff, but it's like, how do you choose jokes to do in front of an audience like that who's just waiting for the next band?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And that's a
even little... if they like you, like, they're waiting for the music to continue.
Yeah, you can't mess up that flow.
And you
on
can't
top
get
of that,
too
yeah.
into who you are yeah. and who what your comedy's about. And so it's a bad showcase.
And then that, and then the thing, up until Los Tigres, it was running late. And, you know,
it was running late.
The
they cut the time a couple times. That you know that I heard more about the cheerleaders who were part of the Scam and Jam set.
Scam and Jam.
That the next act was supposed to come up, so they were cutting their set, but they hadn't
told them ahead
of time.
Well, see, that's
so
the
they're
thing.
Kicking
that,
them off.
There was like a lot of miscommunication. Yeah, like they were doing their own thing, and the artists were doing their own thing. And they got in that shouty match and that FU match.
Yeah.
They're there on stage?
Yeah. Like,
from the sides.
Cause some of the stage people were mad because they weren't listening to
the Armenian looking guy.
They were DJing and performing, right? Yeah. And they were over there just doing set changes in the middle of their shit. Because
they
like,
had to
the
get
fuck?
The next set on for
but
King
that's,
Cruel, right?
But that's the stage manager's issue.
Yeah. And it was bad stage managing because he forgot that these people are an artist. They do have fans here, too. And he didn't really do it respectfully to get them off stage. And then they didn't tell them ahead of time, which really, you can't pull somebody off halfway through. You got to tell them ahead of time.
You're in the middle of a song, dude.
You're mine.
I mean, you got to know that you're performing, hopefully they did know, that they're performing in front of a set change.
Right.
That's a whole different thing. But I think they had a lot of stuff planned, not realizing that there's a set change also going on. I think maybe the festival thought it was just supposed to be DJ stuff.
Right.
You know?
And I think even as a performer, you got to kind of improvise, too.
Yeah,
a little bit.
You have to play, yeah.
You saw Brenton Wood?
Yeah, dude.
You went over there?
Yeah, well, that was
so
it right before.
It was right before. I knew I'd never make it back.
We only watched 4 songs just because I didn't want to be late and all that. And it took a while to track across him. He was real good, dog. Damn. The drummer looked
like
Earthquake.
Like he wore a big zoot suit, huh?
Yeah, and then he took it off and was like, dude, he was really good. Really
solid?
Solid. I did a little video of him.
What were the audience? What was the audience like over by him? Was it older?
Older, but he also mixed in a little younger ones that probably like heard his music growing up and stuff like that.
Everybody see the Delphonics?
No, they could make it there because that was the beginning of your set. Or right?
Yeah, they were starting right after Brenton Wood, I think. Yeah, I was bummed.
That'd be another guy that would fit in well with the Paul Rodriguez, Felipe Esparza show.
Easily.
Brenton Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Bring him up first. Get everybody calm. What's the budget? Nah. Yeah, man. I think a lot of some people complain. You know, they don't understand my jokes. is fat. But I started thinking about it. They're all fat chicks, dog.
Dude, let's say how is somebody going to get
two people?
Two fat chicks.
Mad about you doing a fat person joke? Really?
No, you know what? It's like Lisa said. You know, it's like these people are so they're like that's where comedy is right now, right? These people don't know comedy, or they walk into a comedy show for the first time, and they hear fat, they hear woman, and they put them together. Oh, this guy's anti-Semitic. He's a misogynist.
Misogynist.
Against fat women.
But yeah. It's not. That joke that he did was the life raft joke, which is an old joke. And he pulled that joke out. That joke is really saying, like, women should wear their own size. Yeah. Don't try to fit into these smaller
should
sizes.
Should give people her Instagram so they attack her?
No.
Nah, dude.
No,
should we attack her?
Right
give her?
No.
Give her no fame,
should
dog?
Should we attack her?
No, it's not
worth
it.
She come back 3 years later and come out with a book. And then use me to promote her.
You should just send her a treadmill.
Fat gorda. You guys want to find out? Just go on Instagram and search Felipe Esparza.
No, don't.
And find
don't,
it yourself.
Don't.
I'm not giving no names.
There's no names.
Anyways, yeah, man. Anyway.
Everybody wants everything tailored to them.
But you know what, man?
This younger generation.
To
they
take
just
it
don't
away,
get it.
Not to say that they were complaining about the show. You know, they had their complaints, but everybody had a complaint.
Oh, about everything.
Everyone.
Yeah. I heard people complaining about the tacos when I was walking through. Because I got there at 9 in the morning. Yeah. Everybody was complaining.
People complaining about transportation. Bro.
Yeah, that. Because they couldn't park there. And then also complaining that it was hot. Really? I was like, I don't get it.
Oh, they complain about the sets. Everybody will find something to complain.
Oh, dude, trust me, dude. This is
but
America,
but nobody
dog.
Complained about paying $100.
So that self-righteousness sets in. Come on, SoCal.
I read an article about it, and they mentioned my name, but they all say that it was a success.
Yeah, dude, it was a bitching show, dude. If you went there,
you know why it was a success? Because even though you had school buses to transfer people away from there, it worked.
Dude, because all that shit creates problems.
It worked. You don't
people
want
leaving at one time?
You can't have people leaving at the same time. But there were a lot of people, bro, who were stupid and drunk, who were not waiting for the bus. The motherfucker walking in the freeway.
Yeah,
bro.
We saw them. They were walking on the freeway, climbing up the hill.
You got to be crazy.
I know.
What if you fall down that hill and get ran over?
I know. They were right near where the trucks are coming on to the.
We left right after you guys did, and I seen all that stupid shit.
Crazy.
Man, those guys from that band, The Commons, can party, bro.
Oh, dude. I think there was a lot of people that wanted a party, but their party got cut short because their little backstage area had to get switched out.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Lingerers, bro.
What's up with E-Zone, dog? Showed up with a little backpack.
Was he giving out samples?
Everything.
My complaint, I think if I had really paid money to get in that festival, my complaint would have been that the
hashtag
stages.
#Lisa Esparza.
The stages were so far apart that it took forever to get back. Like, if you wanted to go hit one stage and then see the next act on the next stage, like, it was a long time.
And that tunnel.
That tunnel of
death.
And then if we wouldn't have cut through the back of those taco spots, that's another 15 minutes getting to the spot.
Taking photos.
And taking with Felipe, like, we couldn't go 10 feet without getting stopped for photos.
You got to add 45 minutes.
Sweaty
for him, I never would have made it back. It would have taken us an hour.
And then Isaac disappears. Oh, my God.
In the middle of the night.
He's hanging out with his pal from school, Johnny Roque.
They're both from Pacoima.
He must have just ran into him out there, huh? And then decided to go back with
him. Come on, I'll go take you to go get a
I really
corn.
Thought, you know, as strange as it may sound, I really thought that you, Johnny Roque, and Martin Russell left together.
I didn't see them leave together. He decided
to follow Johnny Roque to the other place. So the whole time, he was not with Johnny Roque?
We were not. I didn't see them anywhere.
They left together.
Isaac and I left together.
He left on his own?
Yeah, so what happened was we went to the food court area. I said, I'm going to the merch stand here to try and settle up, right, to get them to start packing everything up. And then we'll pick up the boxes later. But you had to get them in like an hour notice when you wanted to pack up. So I went to talk to the merch guys. Isaac said, can I get some fries? I said, okay. I said, go check over there and see who has fries. He came back, said, that place has fries. So I gave him some money. It's literally like I could have thrown a baseball over there and hit it. Like, it wasn't that far. And right after I was done speaking with the people at the merch booth, I turn around. Isaac's nowhere to be found. He's not at that fry stand. He's nowhere. He has a blue Dodger jacket on. Nobody else did. No blue anywhere. He was gone. And I'm spinning around like a TV movie. Like, I lost my son just now. You know, I'm like spinning around. I can't see
without
him.
Without a trace.
No people around. I mean, no kids around. And then I go to the fry place. Did you see a kid with a Dodger jacket? Like, a little white kid, you know, blonde hair. No, not Okay, never mind. So I went
like,
over
La Llorona over here.
I went over to the security. It wasn't even security. First, there's a medic tent. I said, "Where's security? Is there a security tent near here?" He's like, "Well, there's a guy out there with a red shirt. They could help you." And I was like, "All right." So I went out there. I described what Isaac looked like, and I said he was just here, and they were like, "Oh, like they didn't have any. I don't know. Like sort of a what am I gonna do?" They had no plan. I was ready to go over to that little small stage that was right near the merch area. It was like a fourth stage. And ask them to like make an announcement or something. But security wasn't even thinking of that.
Oh, dude.
But I was freaking out. Like, this is a 13-year-old kid.
I don't have a clipboard. What about somebody else?
I know. He was so, he had no idea how to help me.
That's when you called me and that little fool was back there?
And I called you. Well, I was calling Isaac's phone. I called Felipe's phone. No answer. I called Dana. No answer. And I was like, fuck, nobody has their phone on. And I said, oh, I'll call Rodrigo. Maybe he'll be back there floating around. And then you said he was there.
How did he get there, though, then?
I don't. He followed Johnny.
There he must with Johnny
have, he must have seen Johnny when we were standing in the courtyard area.
So he lost you, then?
He lost me. But I was standing right there.
Oh, wow.
I was right there looking for him.
That, I don't
it
know,
was
man.
Like you
have to be a parent to understand that fear, man. Because well, I remember I lost my son. I lost him at Nordstrom. Because my son used to like to run. You know when they have suits hanging around in a circle? Uh-huh. The clothing?
A rack.
A little rack. He likes to hide in the middle. He used to go in the middle and hide. And then pop out his head right out of the clothes. So this time I couldn't find him. This fool fell asleep in there, bro.
Oh, my
My brother
God.
Fell asleep.
So
like
I started looking for
all.
That fool everywhere, man. Took me like an hour. Shouts. I was going to beat his ass, but nah.
His fool.
My parents, know what my mom would do, man. If she can't find you, frustrated, find you, kill
oh,
you.
Oh, dude, they got to take out that aggression somehow.
Te voy a matar, cabrón. But your brother got killed, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Came back to life.
Rest in peace. What's up, fool? Man, it's already, the year's already ending, though.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah, man. I didn't do my, I told myself I was going to read a bunch of books. I read like three.
You read three?
I read both Fred Stoller books that came out.
The paperback, Andy?
The paperback.
The Chronicle.
No, I read
the new one about...
Five Minutes to Kill.
I read 5 Minutes to Kill, and I read the one right here for I'm Dying Up Here.
Okay.
And then I read I'm Dying Up Here right after, and I finished another book, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
They call
Were you reading Hammer of the Gods? I saw that in the bathroom.
Yeah, I started that one when I took a mean dump. I started Hammer of the Gods. Yeah, I'm in chapter 2.
Further in the...
I'm in different chapters and different books.
No, I've started like seven.
I thought you started the island one.
I started two, and both of them are in my.
Which is the one you're reading? Tell us. What about that? The Skull Island.
No, that's the Creature from Jekyll Island. That's a hard book to get through because that's a factual book. That's not like fiction or anything.
What's
that's
that
the,
about?
That's the central based bank. On the Federal Reserve and how that was created after that meeting with J.P.
Morgan. Tell him who had that meeting.
It was J.P. Morgan, Paul Warburg. Rockefeller.
Carnegie as well?
No, Carnegie was not there. But they were all businessmen, owners.
They own all the steel.
Major
bro.
Industries like railroads, steel, banking as well. And so they were basically coming up with the central bank idea. And it was in 1914, I believe.
The Rothschilds.
And they went off on this meeting to Jekyll Island. It was a private meeting. They actually, I mean, it was so furtive, it was so secretive that they connected their train. They were acting like they were going on a hunting trip. This is down in Georgia. It's an island off of Georgia. They were going on a hunting trip. So they all dressed like they're going on a hunting trip. And then they get in this train car, and the car is connected to this train that departs. But then that cable is disconnected, and they're rerouted to this other depot. By themselves, this one car, and it just backs right up, and then they go somewhere else. But it was like a fake out that they were getting on this train, and the train went off somewhere else. But they had fake names. They only had first names. They had servants at that island who didn't know who they were. Like, they weren't the regular servants of anybody. It was just specifically hired just for that trip, and they all met in secret about how they were going to set this Central Bank up. It's a good book, but it's a lot. It's like a textbook. It's
and why did they do it? Because at that time, the U.S. was making so much money.
Right after the Great Depression.
It was after. No, this was before the Depression.
Before?
This was before the Depression. It was during World War One. But they were coming together, basically trying to figure out how they could invest more money, but still be safe, right? And they were still be safe, like protected.
If they
lost the money, because banks at that time had no way of investing beyond what they were taking in. Because when they take in your money as a savings, you put your money into a bank for savings, it's immediately gone and invested. Now, and back then it was too, but these banks were getting way too close to their edge of what they were bringing in. So they had no buffer zone in case the investments failed and people wanted to take their
or
money
the
out at the
like
same time.
FDIC or something like that?
Yeah, so it was like, yeah, so it's like there was no FDIC at that time. So the FDIC started later. But this was a way to protect the bankers' money. And it still works that way today. And the Federal Reserve sets like the interest rates and sets everything for how much money is going to be worth, basically, how much money is going to be lended.
I thought it was Alan Greenspan who said
Well, predicted it in his... That downfall.
Well, he predicted the downfall, but the downfall is mentioned in this book. This book was written in the 80s.
It's going to happen?
It was talking about how the Federal Reserve, when these people got together and made this plan, it worked. It ended up working out exactly that way when we bailed out those companies.
They got bailed out, and it goes on our tab, right?
And it goes on our tab, and that's how it's specified in these papers, in these documents that these guys put together way back when.
So it's no secret.
It's no secret.
Too big
it's like
to
that's,
fail.
That's the way it's going to go. They're going to bail you out. It's like, okay, well, what happens if the banks all do default or they're about to default? It'll never happen because we'll bail them out. And
even
we'll
if
put
every,
it on the cus-
even
on the
if
taxpayer.
Every American were to go to the bank and take it out, they're still protected, huh?
You're still protected.
But the whole thing
it's
is.
Not even that. It's like.
The Federal Reserve isn't even a part of the U.S. government,
it's
right?
It's not. It never was part of the government. But that's why some people think there's that loophole where they don't have to pay taxes.
Yeah, right.
That's why they go after drug dealers in small country because they took over a bank that's not part of the central bank.
Mm-hmm. So is that one of the reasons for it to not be attached to the government?
I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning is, but I don't think the. I think that if if it were part of the government, then we would have the taxpayers, the people would have control over that. You know what I mean? Because it's not part of the government officially. I think that's always their out.
That one
so
of the
legislative branch can't mess with it.
Nobody can
like
mess
that.
With it.
That's the reason they had their meeting to not have the people control of it, huh?
Yeah.
It's private.
It's basically a private. I mean, it was.
But that's usually who pulls all the strings anyways, are the captains of industry, people that make, like, mad money.
Yeah. This book is interesting, but I haven't gotten through it at all.
How many pages?
I'm probably...
But then you read
it's a tome. It's, like, 1,000 pages or something. It's like,
you read the other book, too, about Scientology. That was a big-ass book, huh?
Going Clear. That was 1,500 pages. That was good, though. I ate that like candy. I love Scientology, though, man. I'm obsessed with cults.
Crazy-ass stories, huh?
You read Leah Remini's book, too?
Yeah, I read hers, too. I read that one last year. That was a good book. Her book was crazy, talking about Tom Cruise, and she got shunned because the whole time she's at Tom Cruise's wedding, she's friends with J-Lo, personal friends, through her husband, because he was like a dancer and backup singer and stuff, with Mark Anthony. So they were friends, and then she invited her just to go, let's go to Italy. I'm going to Tom Cruise's wedding. You want to come? She's like, sure. But the whole time, the Scientology people were trying to get Leah to get J-Lo and Mark Anthony to be alone with Scientology people, like the heads of kind of recruiting or whatever, so they could talk to them. But then J-Lo was like, I don't want to hang out. I don't want to be at somebody else's table. I want to be at your table. Mm-hmm. Like, I came with you. You're my friend. I don't know any of these people. And she's like, all right. So she let her sit at her table, and she was like in trouble for that. For that. That was the first mistake.
They made her scrub floors on her vacation.
They did some shit like that to her, right?
They did. Like, her vacation, her hiatus for the next year on King of Queens. Everybody else, she was like, everybody went to Jamaica, Bermuda, and all this stuff. She said, I went to Florida to clean floors and take classes.
With Adam Murray.
They basically were punishing her. They were punishing
Leah,
her.
Let me scare you.
I love Scientology, man. It's crazy. I love in California. I love the history of it within California because that guy bought up all these dilapidated properties.
It's the prime real estate now, right?
Yeah, out in Hemet. That's the gold headquarters.
Yeah, those big old protestations
there.
Against that stuff when it first started. But one thing I'm really like, you have to give it up to the Church of Scientology, is how they beat out the IRS on that big old tax bill, right?
And they're
genius almost.
Well, they lost their tax exempt status for a while, and then they basically did some backroom dealing with the IRS and got their tax exempt status back probably 10 years ago.
I remember watching that Going Clear thing, and it was like a big old thing. I don't know who the leader is, but the guy that's right in front of Tom Cruise.
David Miscavige. Now.
Yeah, the guy that even turned on his parents, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And he was a thug to his parents. He beat his parents up when he was a teenager.
Dude.
Like a soldier.
This fool is intense, dog.
He's crazy. He thinks, and he's short like Tom Cruise, too. So they like... They have custom-made motorcycles, and they go riding their motorcycles together, and they work out together and all
that
stuff.
Dude, it's all like almost like Hitler-esque, like, you know, dictator-style speech-making, man.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Crazy. We are little lollipop kids. Dude.
What's up?
My first gig I land, right, in Maryland. I think Fort Aberdeen.
Proving Ground.
Aberdeen Proving Ground, bro. I show up, bro, with no luggage.
What happened?
They lost it.
American put it on a later flight.
You're lying.
Yeah,
dude.
Man. So I'm up there performing with my sweats like Corey Holcomb, bro.
What's up, Aberdeen?
I just needed one drink in my hand. Looking up to like Blue's Clues.
It's not easy either because the airport is like an hour and a half away or an hour away from this base. So they have to bring it all the way up there.
An hour away, bro. And when I got back to my room. When I got back to my room, no bag, bro.
Nothing.
So I took a shower and put on the same clothes. You know how that goes.
I always flip my underwears inside out when I have to do that.
Damn. Should have thought about that. Then in the morning, I get there, my bag's there.
But did you perform? When was the show? That night?
That night. But I was
also
afraid.
You performing in your sweats?
When I was leaving, I showed up. My bag showed up.
Yeah, when he was leaving to go to the next city. But I was afraid he wasn't going to get it because they would have shown up after he was gone.
It's the worst, dude.
What I didn't want to do, man, is drive an hour to my next show and then leave early to get to the airport first to see if my bag is there.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't have to do that.
They came through.
I was there in my Blue's Clues, bro. Damn, bro, my sweat's on.
Were you comfortable on stage at least?
Yeah.
That's cool. It's like performing in my PJs, man.
I made it into a workout room. What's up, fool? Any shows coming up, bro? What's up with the fucking Yeah Man podcast?
I got a new one coming out today, as a matter of fact.
I think we're going to do an enchilada podcast, too, this week.
Sometime this week.
This week for the holidays.
On Thanksgiving.
Because you're home for a few days in a row.
For a few days. Man, I don't know how I did it, bro, traveling with four shows. Because sometimes, man, you just lose sleep, huh?
Hell yeah, dude. Was it crazier than the Mike Epps tour?
About the same. Sleeping wise, but now I manage how to sleep 4 hours, bro, and get enough rest.
Yeah, but you just basically caught sleep everywhere you could.
I sleep 4 hours and when I wake up from, like, I will get up at 6 and then leave at 7, and as soon as I get in a plane, I fall asleep. They drive me somewhere. that takes 2 hours. I fall asleep in a car. Everywhere, bro, I fall asleep. I just tell the guy, listen, man, if you see a Taco Bell, wake me up, pull over. Living off Taco Bell.
Yeah, man.
What's up, fool? Lisa's out. She's out of here now. She's gone.
We should wrap up.
All right. So you got heard of the shows. This week we're in Midland, Texas.
You've been in Midland, Texas. This comes out Friday. You're there Wednesday.
Damn.
Oh, that was going to come out.
So you're already there, yeah.
That was going to come out today.
That's where the bushes are from, right?
You want me to put the podcast out on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get it out. Okay.
What's up, fool? Thank you, everybody. I hope you guys had a happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, man.